The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Pistol formation as the Cowboys start at the 20, coming left to right. Dowdle behind Rush, who bobbles the snap. Scrum for it. Eagles got it. Cooper Rush bobbled the snap, and Milton Williams, the defensive end, beat him to the ball.
8 o'clock hour here on your home of the Cowboys, Sean, RJ, and Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Caitlin in the back. We're live on the Fan Camp, Twitch, and YouTube. Happy Veterans Day. Thanks to all of you who served. And if you are checking us out, even on a day off, you are appreciated.
Yeah, we're appreciated.
Hit us up with the phone calls. The Odyssey app messages at 877-881-1053. What was your biggest through your hands in the air moment, or your biggest just LOL chuckle yesterday during the game? Was it the Terrence Steele non-fumble recovery that almost took out Dak Prescott on the sideline? Was it the Zeke fumble? Was it Zeke going back in to get the very next carry when Rico Dowdle had a star up from all of us in the first half? Was it any of Kalen Carson getting picked on before he was benched? What was it?
For me, it was the when they, I think they're benching Cooper Rush for the rest of the game.
Yep.
And then they went, haha, just kidding. It was two handoffs, and now he's going back in there because right. We need somebody to throw the ball a yard. So that was what
I'm
I was like,
two
all right,
yards, sir.
When they did that, I was like, all right, they have no plan.
Right.
They have no idea what they're doing out there. They're just going, well, let's try this. Let's try this. They're in.
It was 28-6 with 2:56 left. Lance comes in.
The third, right?
Yes.
Dude.
Two plays.
Cooper Rush got booed running through the Miller Lite hallway leaving the game.
He did.
The fans that are sitting there are booing him running through.
And here's another Cowboy microcosm. Bobby, you probably weren't able to see this in the press box. It didn't appear clear to Rush and Lance on who was going in.
Right.
You saw that?
Cooper starts to run in.
Yeah.
And then they call him back, and then you see Trey running out, and it's like...
It was not communicated.
Yeah.
And then something they just felt bad, so they're like, go back in, Cooper.
Was not communicated clearly. Maybe it was Kenny Pickett in... at the start of the fourth quarter. That's how bad it was. But for me as well, it was the Lance Rush thing.
Yeah, and it's weird because their communication is usually so strong as a football team and as a coaching staff that I'm stunned that they didn't have it straight of
right.
Who was supposed to go in there. It felt like a complete lack of preparation across the board. It felt like a team that's just not good enough to stack up against even the most average football teams in the NFL right now. It's a bad team. If this team is the one that would have fielded for the Cowboys week one, I don't know that this is a team that I feel comfortable saying wins more than 2-3 games.
Yeah, and like, look, that was just one of three or four of those moments, of those OF moments. What's going on here? But the idea to, A, the miscommunication of putting him in, B, putting him in there, which I agree with. I wanted him to be in there at that point. But then you're going to take him out on 2nd and 16 because there was a holding call, and now you're behind the chains. So you're just taking him out to throw a 2-yard pass? Well, that doesn't make any sense. Let him throw. And did you only put Cooper back in there because it was 2nd and 16? Like, was Trey going to play if it was 3rd and 3?
There was an insane sequence of events. I'm trying to find it on the play log. I think it was right after they scored. Philadelphia did to make it 21-6. And Dallas came out, or maybe the next drive, where their play call was a handoff to Dowdle for one, a screen to Dowdle for one, a throw in the flat to Tolbert for two. And it's like,
yeah.
Have you just decided the game's over now and you're just trying to get through, like you're just trying to run plays to run out clock? Like, you had no intention of making a first down on that series, right? It felt like.
The third and three run to Rico at the goal line, I was angry. I was angry with that. The Zeke fumble, I just laughed.
Yeah.
That was just comical. I was like, oh, of course.
Here's right. McCarthy on Trey Lance and if he would start games. Quote, we're not there yet. I mean, we had a package for him. We wanted to get him into the flow of the game was the thought process coming in here. Then to get him in when we did, then I took him out on the third down. I just believe in reps. None of this makes sense so far.
He's a bad coach. He is a bad coach.
None of this makes sense. I mean, that third down segment there, not that he couldn't run the plays. I just didn't want to put him in there, something that he hadn't had a lot of reps in. I put Cooper back in for that play for third down. We had the turnover there, something I'll obviously discuss tomorrow. It's just, huh? What? I'm just shaking my head, like trying to make sense of it.
And that's the thing, you start running out of adjectives really fast of how to describe what this team has been the last few weeks, what they are right now. And it just all comes back to the one unifying three-letter word that underpins everything with them. And it's bad. They are bad across the board. It is a bad football team with bad execution, bad preparation. They're just not good. And they have a entire coaching staff that's not good and doesn't know how to prepare teams.
Tony Romo did not sound thrilled. I think I heard this correctly. When Trey started going in, Romo said, I hate this for him. I thought he kind of started saying that. He didn't like him going in with that type of situation.
So it's like sending a reliever in with the bases loaded, nobody out, like put him in a clean inning?
Maybe
that's what it is.
I don't know. But I had that written down. Tony kept talking about, he really got on Jalen Tolbert during the Lance pick. I felt like it was Peyton Manning defending a quarterback during Monday Night Football and the Manning cast. He's like, Jalen Tolbert is running this pattern like he's covering a punt. Like, you have to turn back and look at the football. If memory serves me correct, I thought Romo looked great a few years ago hyping up Cooper Rush. Was it before the Vikings? Was his first game against the Vikings?
Yeah. Cincinnati, right, was the you're talking about the 4-1 season?
Yeah, because we talked about it at the time. Is like, is he like subtly taking shots here at Dak with the way he's hyping this up?
I heard none of that yesterday from Romo before the game, in the lead-in, in the build-up. And I thought we were going to hear, hey, I'm a big fan of Cooper Rush. Look what this guy did, 4-1 a few years ago. And Romo looked good in calling that. Before the five-game stretch, and I didn't hear any of that from Tony yesterday before the game, which I was surprised by. He also seemed to be criticizing the Cowboys' game plan. He kept saying, what you have to do against this Vic Fangio defense is go to the middle of the field. You have to go to the middle of the field. And, of course, all we're getting is screens and little swing passes out to Rico or reverses to CeeDee Lamb that we've already seen 400 times.
So that Minnesota game was the one-off. That was after Dak hurt his calf against New England. Was it the calf?
Sure. Yeah, I think so.
Would he have been talking about that? Because that was a Sunday Night Football game against Minnesota.
Right. No, I know. But I'm saying, like, but that was, so Cooper played the 4-1 the following year. This was the one-off game where Dak got hurt in New England. They beat New England in overtime. They passed to CD.
Yeah.
They have a bye, and Cooper plays that Minnesota game. That was that crazy catch by CD where he was like behind the guy, almost horizontal. Yeah.
But I just didn't hear any of that Rush love early on from Tony. I just marked it down. And then he kept talking about like the fundamentals and the little things, blocking, communication issues, and what you see with this football team. So those were my Romo observations from yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we didn't hear the analysis there, but everybody I think was stunned from a media perspective, just like, this is so much worse than even you would have anticipated. It looked so much worse than just Atlanta the previous week. Like, the way that they played down the stretch there. This was just looked like a guy who had no ability to throw the ball past the sticks at all.
So now what at quarterback? What should happen, RJ Choppy?
Well, what should happen is they should play Trey Lance. If Cooper Rush was going to play like, 2021 or 2022 Cooper Rush, I'd keep playing him. Because, Cooper in that Minnesota game, he had 325 yards.
Yeah. Passing,
right?
Yesterday, he looked like a totally different guy.
Totally different guy. We're not even talking about.
He may as well, I'm not joking. He may as well have been throwing left-handed. That's how putrid and despicable and disgusting this offense was.
And in the 4-1.
And Mike McCarthy's right there to blame for it, too.
The 4-1, he had 235, 215, 223, 102, and 181. And the 181 was his only loss. Now, the 102, whatever, but I mean, they still won the game. But he at least never made it look like he was incompetent. If he's not going to look like a solid NFL player, just might as well play Trey Lance. They've got nothing to lose.
What are you trying to accomplish? Are you actually trying to win games or you tank? If you're trying to win games, you should put Trey Lance in at this point. Ooh. Put Trey Lance in and run read option. You need to run, like Brian was calling it last night, run college-style offense.
Yeah.
Because Rico Dowdle's showing he can run the ball somewhat effectively. Trey Lance is a threat on the read option. You might be able to get some easy windows to throw the ball. It obviously cannot be worse throwing the ball than what Cooper Rush was. So if you want an opportunity to win, it's probably Trey Lance in a read option offense.
And anyone on this team that has an injury guarantee in their contract for next year, sit them. Right? That you don't want. If you don't want them on the like the Giants should never play Daniel Jones again. He's got a $20-something million injury guarantee for next year. They should never put him out there again because they don't want him. If you got somebody on this team that's like that, sit him down.
I have a theory. I don't totally believe in it right now because it is going to be Cooper Rush, I believe, to start again. And they'll drag this out as long as possible until mathematically Jerry You're can't right. defend it anymore. So Rush will probably play the next two or three games. But my theory is that Jerry... What if he has a fear of Lance being out there to get him roasted even more for the trade and the compensation, especially after what happened with Mingo, that they're so like Jerry does not want to get called out and made fun of even more for the fourth round pick. And by the way, how high up are these fourths going to be now? You've given up end of third round selections with the way this is going. End of thirds. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, but I mean, they'll say...
Tell me about all the fifths. I don't want to hear that.
No, but they'll say, we got the fifth so we can package them and we can get up and fourth, but that's the thing. It's like you're sacrificing capital at that point.
Yeah, and so I would love to have four fourths.
Yeah.
We can get that back. No. It's like they do with the salary cap, and this infuriates me every time it comes up. Well, the cap's going to keep going up so we can spend more. Well, no, you can save more, too. You could save more if you got the deals done earlier and have more money in the coffers. That's like me. That's like saying to my wife, like, no, go ahead and buy that at full price. We're being overcharged. Well, I'm going to get a raise next year. So I'm fine with that. No, I want it at the regular price or still on sale. So when I get the raise, I have more money. That's the way I always looked at their signings. I don't care that the cap is just going up.
What's a raise, though?
good point. Christmas bonus coming up.
Hey, we got those?
No, we did year one, I think.
That's right.
and holidays off. So instead of saying I have all these fifth-round picks, I can couple them to get that fourth back. No, I want three fourths. Well, I want three picks at the end of the third round.
Here's what they knew. They knew Dante Fowler was going to pick up two more sacks yesterday.
I
think he's up to eight now for the season. So that means that he has played himself now into comp pick territory. So now they might get a seventh, sixth round comp pick for Dante Fowler as well. So they knew that pick was coming. They knew they had capital to trade because Dante Fowler was going to continue to play well because all these guys that they let walk away are playing better than the guys they kept.
Cowboys failed to score a touchdown in back-to-back games at home. It is only the second time in franchise history that has happened. 2015 was the other instance.
By the way, that was the Matt Castle, Brandon Whedon year.
They have turned the ball over in the red zone as many times this season as they did in the last three seasons combined.
Philly have lost six straight here, by the way. Did yesterday change the way you thought about the Eagles whatsoever?
I thought the Eagles were a decent team coming in here. So, that looked... Honestly, the thing that was impressive to me was how well Dallas was forcing Jalen Hurts to run around early and have to try to make plays. And Jalen Hurts, who had been playing pretty clean football the last month or so, having a couple different turnover-worthy plays, I thought they actually did a good job forcing them into some bad positions. Where if you had Dak yesterday, I think you might win that game, actually. It might be different. If you've got Dak, if you've got the offense, and they can actually move the ball a little more effectively, it might be different.
Miss Dak playing this year at all? Mike in Dallas, you're up here on Sean and RJ. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What up?
Sean, I tell you, man, if that was my wife and she was going shopping, she'd probably say, since you're getting a raise, she'll probably try to get two pairs of shoes. But listen,
trust
man.
Trust me, I see the target, Bill. I'm not winning my argument.
Hey, right. Hey, listen, man. Mike McCarthy, man, his style of coaching and the offense, man, it looks like preseason. It's very vanilla.
Yeah.
Zimmerman, man, I mean, even though he might not have all of the pieces, it's not it, man. Everything down there, man, is trash. Dak, you can say what you want to about him, man, but he doesn't have that it factor. He's not going to win when it counts. He is not a Super Bowl. He's a bus driver. And I guess if that's what you want, it's fine if you have the rest of the team that's around him, but they don't. But the bottom line is, man, me personally, because we know Jerry is not going to hire another GM.
Yeah.
We know Jerry is not going to sell the team.
Yeah.
So when I'm watching the games, I love it. Jerry, I hope you're listening. I love watching you lose.
that's the sick Cowboy trade coming out that I felt weeks and weeks ago. You want to see them suffer.
Yeah.
You really do. Like yesterday, people were disappointed when they shot to the owner's box and Jerry was the one missing. And they want to see him suffer as a Cowboy owner because of what he's putting them through. That's just the truth. Jerry Jones tomorrow live at 8:30. What about their next opponent? Could this be the breaking point? The in-state matchup, if you stayed up for the thriller from Sunday Night Football, next.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
From 52 yards out to send the Lions home with a victory. There's the snap, spot, kick away. It is up and it is good. He got it. We're going to fly home on the wings of Jake Banks. Oh, baby. Good from 58. Good from 52. And that's good enough for a victory for the Detroit Lions.
Holy cow. Lions Radio, did you stay up? I hope you did for that one last night. Not since 1970, and I can't believe it was just that recent. Not since 1970 had someone thrown five interceptions, a team thrown five interceptions and trailed by 15 points and come back to win, as the armpits with the Texans offense went to the armpit and completely disappeared in the second half of last night's game, and the Detroit Lions come back and win in Houston.
Wow. It was October 13th, week six against the Patriots. That's the last time the Texans scored a second half touchdown. Yep. Which seems impossible.
Fifth time in six games they haven't scored a TD in the second
especially
half.
Especially with how much buzz there was about Bobby Slowick and
but
that
offense.
But
they're missing two major weapons.
Sure.
They're missing their... Imagine this football team. Seriously. Like, they have Tank Dell and that's it. There's no Nico, there's no Diggs.
Yeah, and
they,
then...
Now they have Dell, they have Schultz. Joe Mixon, I think, is going to punish the Cowboys and have a couple highlight reels in running over some people. But they are missing two receivers, but still.
Like, but even a month, like a month, you should score one by accident.
They have scored 15 total points in the second half in those four games. Three against the Packers, six against the Colts, six against the Jets, and then nothing last night.
Yeah, and it's not like they weren't, it's not like they've scored nothing. Like, right. I mean, they scored 22 in the game against Green Bay, 23 against the Colts. They scored 23 last night. Like, they're scoring in the first half of games. It's just the second half, they are falling apart. And Houston has just been a massive disappointment over the last month. And yeah, a lot of it's the injury situation with Diggs and what they're dealing with in terms of their receivers. But, and I've never seen Laremy Tunsil strip the ball out of CJ Stroud's hands. I've never seen a guy's own offensive lineman basically strip the ball. It was third down. It didn't matter. They recovered it as well. But still, it was like, I've never seen an offensive lineman essentially strip his quarterback of the ball, like try to wrestle it from him. But that was
there were
just
four straight interceptions, like drive, pick. With Goff, who I told y'all, don't put MVP money on Jared Goff. It's a watered-down MVP race. I feel like, again, for the second straight year, holy mackerel, was he harassed.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, he was under siege, and he had, you know, one was, you know, the one at the line of scrimmage, and there was one more that was a tip.
Yeah.
But so it's, you know, it doesn't look as bad as the stat line, but still, there was a lot of bad football and bad quarterback play at times in that game. And then, look, I mean, then you make some throws when you have to. It reminds me a lot of that Romo game in Buffalo where he threw five interceptions and they win. Back in 07.
The only thing that made me sick yesterday, sick to my stomach, it was not Zeke's fumble. It was not the laughable Trey Lance experiment. It was none of that. It was that I stopped betting and gambling. The fact that I have not put $500 apiece on all these Cowboy games in which I've predicted on the radio they would lose by 10 or more, made me physically ill yesterday. I told my wife, I really regret not gambling again. It made me sick. It made me sick. I'm like, I'm saying it on the radio. I'm looking like a football genius. I am a football genius. I'm just not...
One of the smartest people you've ever met.
I'm just not making any money as a football genius and capitalizing. And lo and behold, the spread comes out for the armpit. Cowboys, Texans, in prime time, 6.5. Well... And this is Monday Night Football on the Fan. 6.5. And people are trying not to make the same mistake I have, Choppy. It's moved up to 7 already. The over-under, 42.5. Although I think I was wrong about the over-under. I need to stay away from that because I'm miscalculating how much other teams are just pouring it on and beating the living hell out of the Cowboys. The other team is just taking these overs over. But yeah. The spread... 3, 3.5, 6.5, it has been charity. It has been easy money, and I hope you're at least cleaning up. Yeah, I knew you didn't against Atlanta, but I think you learned your lesson against Philly.
I bet Philly in this one. And then this coming week, Houston scares me because Houston plays down to their competition.
Yeah, I'm a little scared of this one.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I'd... Although Houston's defense is... I don't know how the Cowboys are going to score in Houston's defense. It's a good defense.
Yeah.
Their defense genuinely is a good one.
I don't know how... Houston could get 9 sacks in this game. Yeah, I have no idea how they're going to block them up.
This is a 9.5-point swing, though. The Cowboys opened at -3. This was obviously when they opened.
Before the year.
Yeah, look ahead. They're called look ahead lines. So the Cowboys were -3 to start the year. This is a 9.5. The Cowboys have been downgraded that much, and obviously the injury. So now you're looking at a 9.5, 10-point swing.
Washington loses to Pittsburgh. The Giants lose to Carolina, so both teams losing in the NFC East yesterday. But, man, this also made me ill. I I felt one with Bobby Belt after this.
Lutz waiting for the snap. Placement is down.
Now stop it. Stop it. I haven't heard this radio call. I may have to take off my headphones. Mitch Holthus already. That's his kingdom. I don't even know how bad, how awful, how sickening, nauseating this is going to be.
Lutz waiting for the snap. Placement is down. Lutz's kick is blocked. It's blocked. It's blocked. The Chiefs blocked the kick. They're going to stay undefeated. The Kansas City Chiefs blocked a 35-yard field goal attempt. The Kansas City Chiefs are 9-0.
All right, not as bad as I thought.
First team doesn't know how to lose.
They have won how many straight games while trailing in the second half?
Wait, isn't it like seven straight? I would say six games in a row.
Ten. Well,
nine. They've won nine straight games trailing in the second half. It has been how many days since their last loss?
Well, that would have been, let's go with...
You're usually good at this stuff.
Let's go with 370.
Pretty good guess.
290.
321. 321 days since their last loss. They were down 14-3 to Denver. The Broncos had it set up. It was perfect. And then a freaking field goal block. And Bobby, I'm with you now. I was angry. I was mad that Kansas City got away with more crap.
It's coming. It's coming for them. Like, they can't keep... This is an unsustainable run. Whenever we talk about, like, the Chiefs just win, they've been downgraded before. It's like, yeah, but even when they're downgraded, it doesn't look like this. This looks like not a very good football team at times. Like, Denver being up 14-3, and Denver, that's an extra point, essentially. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of breaks they're getting. Peyton was already coming at me this morning. He's like, well, Detroit won that way. You're not going to talk anything about that. It's like,
I'm a champion.
Because Detroit is kicking people's ass every other week, and then they win those games when they come up. This is how Kansas City's winning every game right now.
You get when you've been playing like Detroit this year, and I think they lead in point differential for the whole league. But when you win the way they do, this is the NFL. You're not going to have perfect games every time. You're going to have to overcome five interceptions by your quarterback or whatever. I mean, the Chiefs just have been
five.
Well, not five, maybe much, but you get the point. You're going to have to overcome bad play at some point. I mean, the Chiefs, to be fair, I mean, they have not played perfect. It's like they have sat there, like, we're just going to win. We're going to do enough to win the game. And we're
I think that's making it sound like other team light switches, you know, that like they're saving something. I don't know how much more they can unleash. Like, this might be who they are. I don't know if they're sleepwalking.
No, I don't. And it may not even be sleepwalking. Like, they are apps. And this is the
same
thing
that you're making it sound like, though. Like, yeah, we'll do this and we'll do that. Kind of like lollygagging, like going to half pace, three quarters pace. I don't know that that's happening now.
I don't know that it's like fully like that. I just do think that if this game is close, Mahomes is going to find a way to win the game.
But do they flip on a light switch to cause Lamar not see Zay Flowers, or for Isaiah Likely's toe not to get down? Do they flip on a light switch to get a defensive pass interference against the Bengals on 4th and 6 that gives them the field goal to win the game? Do they flip on a switch to go, oh, we're going to block the kick now?
Yeah, but they are coming back. They are coming back in all these games.
Yeah.
They do know coming out of the third, it's the opposite of the Cowboys. They do know, like, we're going to catch up.
Right.
They have to believe
we're good enough. The quarterback's good enough.
Doggone it, people like
me. And now the other side is, obviously, this happens when you start to win one, two titles in a row. You do get, you are the Super Bowl for the other team.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right? So they are.
The punk move of the day on the San Francisco sideline before this happened.
Saber Pepper will snap to Mitch Wishnowsky. Number 4 will try to make it here. Good snap. Jake has it away. Jake has the distance. And Jake Moody is good! Money! Moody!
Wow.
Somehow, someway, the Niners win in Tampa Bay.
All right, that was the sickening one I was waiting for from Kansas City. Christian McCaffrey returns. Their kicker misses 3 field goals. Debo Samuel goes to the sideline, tells the kicker, get your stuff together, like, get your head on right. The long snapper is there to defend him, basically telling Debo, we know what we got to do, like, get out of here. Debo shoves the long snapper in the head and ends up with a swipe at the kicker, Moody. Moody then hits the game winner, and afterwards, Debo was like trying to take a little bit of credit. Like, I think he was like, he had that dog in him. He had that dog in him. But man, what a punk move by Debo Samuel Or will people defend Debo going after a kicker who missed three kicks, but he took a swipe, shoved the long snapper in the face, and took a swipe at the kicker's head?
Look, I think generally it's like stay in your own position group or like your own side of the ball. Offense can go at offense. You start getting cross fighting where the defense is playing really well all year and the offense stinks, and then now you start getting the defense to chirp at the offense. That's how teams tank. That's how teams go into some funks. Stay on your side. Like if you had an offensive player not doing their job, go at them. If you're on the defensive side, you got a defensive guy not doing their job, go at them. But don't cross position groups like that.
Yeah, I mean, I get it for the I always the late Larry Allen. I love the video of him like essentially punching Jose Cortez in the face, because in that instance, Jose Cortez is barking at everybody else, and Larry Allen's basically like, "Dude, you need to shut up. Okay, this is your fault." But this was just like, this felt very much like punching down. And by the way, I don't know that he can punch down to Tabor Pepper. Like, that's a big guy. Yeah. That's somebody who...
I was hoping Pepper was going to snap him.
I think, like, he was thinking about it. He was looking like he was trying to feel like, how far do I want to push this? Do I want to beat up one of our stars or not? Like, they've got enough guys injured.
By the way, they barely escape. This is Tampa as Baker, not a MAGA fan apparently, with that stiff arm on Bosa. Stay away from me. No Evans, no Goblin, and they fought valiantly, but San Francisco escapes. Around the rest of the NFL here on DFW Sports.
San Francisco's the reverse Kansas City right now, where like San Francisco's playing like outplaying teams at the stat sheet, and they're just blowing games late or playing really tight margins that they should have no business playing.
The rest of the football world is reacting this morning to Micah on McCarthy. We'll play you the audio and Below the Belt next on 105.3 The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Hurts in the gun. Snap is back. Standing. Rush. Fumbles the ball on the sack. The ball is recovered by Dallas at the 5-yard line. Leofau recovered it and was touchdown. The Cowboys with their season high fifth sack of the day.
Predict Micah's walk back on the Edge podcast on Bleacher Report later tonight when he gets asked about what's all over ESPN this morning, his controversial comments about Mike McCarthy. This is Below the Belt, presented by A Number One Air. And yeah, after the game last night, it was something where I know PR has got to be a little annoyed, because I believe this quote came in about 20 seconds after the "Thanks, Micah" from PR, which is the wrap of, "All right, thanks, Micah. We appreciate it." Guys, break it up. That's usually the signal of like, Micah's done now, guys, let's go. And so I heard the "Thanks, Micah," and then the question came in a few seconds later, and this is what we got.
Mike's on the final year of his contract, so outside there's of course going to be questions. What's the sentiment inside the locker room, and what do you tell people who are wondering about whether McCarthy will be your coach next year?
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants, but the guys I kind of feel bad for is guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out, you know, because that's who I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hurt for.
That's a tough quote, specifically because of the line, "who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did." Because that's underscored by outside of the context of just Dallas, it feels
like. I'm getting text messages from outside of the Metroplex. What's up with McCarthy saying, what's up with Micah saying that McCarthy stuff? And predictably, I think the media, they need to be media watchdogged because they're being disingenuous and inaccurate with the story. They're taking the first part of it. We're focusing on the second part of it. The first part of it is clear that he's saying Mike McCarthy can still be employed. Mike McCarthy can coach after this year. Zach Martin is about to be done. That's who I really feel bad for. And they're just taking Mike McCarthy can go anywhere. Like, go take a hike. Go fly a kite, as my dad used to say. That's BS, ESPN. That's horse crap. That's garbage. The second, I still think the whole thing, I think Michael will clarify. I think he will walk it back. That's my prediction for his podcast. But if there's anything to talk about, it is more work than Mike McCarthy ever did. That felt like a little side swipe. It wasn't a full-on Tebow. It was...
Love that Tebow.
It was your, you know, side view mirror dinking the garage wall. Yeah. And it felt, you know, I don't know how unintentional it was. I think on a scale 1 to 10, it's a, like you, Choppy, a 2 or 3 out of 10 on the something or nothing scale. I think Michael will clean it up, but the media, that's why people hate the media, and we do suck. They're twisting the first part of it of Mike McCarthy. He can get out of here.
Yeah, let's you want a media watchdog headlines real quick? I've got some headlines for you, and then we'll get to ESPN. But I've got how the national media is writing about this right now. I'm just going to read off the headline. You tell me if you think it's a fair summary of what we just heard. Pro Football Talk. Micah Parsons feels worse for players like Zach Martin than Mike McCarthy.
Fair.
I think that's fair. NFL.com. Cowboys Micah Parsons feels worse for players like Zach Martin than Mike McCarthy in 3-6 season.
Is this fair? Is this the number one headline? Has this beaten the sun? Yes. Has this eclipsed the sun?
It eclipsed the sun.
Yes. Is this the moon?
Yes, it has.
Is this the moon Jerry was talking about?
We're in the path of totality now. Fan-sided. Micah Parsons ready to escort Mike McCarthy out of Dallas after another loss.
Cheap.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Cheap.
Not very good. This one's interesting from The Spun. Mike McCarthy. The Spun. Micah Parsons hints Cowboys star will retire after season. I do think that was kind of what he was talking about.
What? Say that again?
Micah Parsons hints Cowboys star will retire after season. That's I do think there's a little
Cowboys
bit of...
Cowboys star retire? Oh, Zach.
That he's talking about Zach Martin will retire.
Okay.
And then Sports Illustrated, Micah Parsons' harsh words hint Mike McCarthy has lost the locker room.
That's fair. I don't think that's unfair.
No, it's unfair. It is unfair with that quote. From that quote. You can't take that from that quote. Give me the part. Give me what Micah said that suggests that McCarthy's lost it.
I think the idea would be that Micah Parsons is one of your biggest stars is basically saying he hasn't put in the same time. And like that would be a sense that he's lost locker room based on how Mike is talking, I think.
Micah, not,
it's a stretch, but I don't think it's like... I think it's more unfair where the headline is on ESPN, Micah says Mike McCarthy can leave and go where he wants. That's more unfair, whatever they
that's
say.
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
That's why nobody should ever trust the media when it comes to anything. Like, you know, do your own research on it.
Because, especially poll results.
All right. But because that's what... That's completely taken out of context. Because they even put the dot, dot, dot in there. Yeah. Mike McCarthy can leave and go where he wants, dot, dot, dot. Well, give me the dot, dot, dot.
It's like when they they said that I called Jerry Putin.
Yeah.
Daily Mail or New York Post, one of them. Rex Ryan responding to Micah's comments on Get Up this morning.
That's total BS. You're exactly right. And look, coaches are there. At some days, 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
For 2 or 3 days, at least during the week. The hours they put in it's unmatched. Mike McCarthy, he doesn't deserve this damn comment. He doesn't. No coach does. Look, there's some horrible coaches out there, but none of them deserve this. The kind of work that they put in as coaches, like, I'm just telling you. I don't know. Like, most players know that these dudes... You can forget about it. You're giving up family time. You're giving up all kinds of stuff in your life, and you're going to get some ass sitting back. I don't care how talented he is. That is absolutely BS. And if you would work half as freaking hard as a damn coach does, maybe you'd be able to play every damn game. Maybe your team wouldn't just be a bunch of punks and lay it down every damn week like you're doing.
Oh.
How about being a damn football team? You're going to sell your damn coach out? It's a crockish, you know what?
Yes.
So it sounds like Rex is actually responding to the second part of it with the hours dedicated.
Right.
Which I don't have a big problem with that.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, look, he is right. He is right. Like, coaches put in a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, even the laziest coaches in the world are still putting in 18-hour days.
Yeah.
Now,
you got to get a massage in the facility.
Absolutely.
I'm kidding.
It's not
That's
fair.
Just a joke.
Now, Rex wasn't fair to Micah there. Because, like, if he said, if you put more work in, maybe you'd be on the
not
field
hurt.
More. I mean, he was hurt. Like, what are you going to do? That had nothing to do with work.
Yeah.
So that wasn't fair from Rex, but I think the rest of it was.
Damian Woody also had a take.
Greeny, I've never heard anyone say anything remotely like that after a game. I really have. And, like, who the hell Michael Parsons think he is talking like that after a game? Bro, you've been missing all these games with the injury. And last time I checked, the head coach is a Super Bowl winning coach. And I know the season hasn't gone the way that everyone is expected to go and all that. But for you to sit there in the locker room right after your team gets pummeled and to just undress your head coach in that manner. See, that's what's going on with all these podcast boys out here in the locker room. Everybody want to sit there and want to, you know, spout and say all this type of stuff. There used to be a time when there's a little bit of respect, a little decorum in the locker room, because at the end of the day, it was about we didn't do enough. All of y'all got your asses kicked. Okay, and you're going to go out here and talk about your head coach, basically your head coach not working, not doing anything to try to prepare the team? I just think it's a bunch of BS, man. Yeah. I really do. I like, we can sit here and laugh and all that stuff, type of stuff, and be here in shock, but that's disrespectful what Michael Parsons did to Mike McCarthy in that situation, because I know, again, it's not the results that Mike McCarthy wants. But I know that man is busting his ass every single day to try to go out there and get a win. And to hear one of your star players come out there and say that?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, I can't ride with that.
Harry Douglas has weighed in, the former 10-year NFL vet. I told y'all Micah is a phenomenal player, but he talks too damn much. That S isn't cute, and it's very disrespectful to his entire locker room. Micah responded to him, "You want some attention, huh? I'm not fitting to carry your career and boost your following."
Whoa!
So that's Micah and Harry Douglas going back and forth.
Man, I'm
going to just eat the fine for now because I'm going to eat the fine from now on. Here we go with the misdirection. This is Micah 15 minutes ago. I think he's saying I'm just not going to talk afterwards because the way y'all twist words and flip them around for content is nasty work. So that is Micah, kind of what he said with Diggs, talking about the media twisting this. And yes, the headline right there, Mike McCarthy can leave and go wherever he wants, that is twisting it.
That is twisting it. Micah did, though, in a way, he did just martyr Mike McCarthy.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, he did. Now, it's not going to matter.
How?
He's made Mike a sympathetic figure here.
I think there's a segment tomorrow on this. I think there's a segment tomorrow. Can Mike McCarthy benefit from this in the offseason? I can make an argument.
And maybe not with this team, but in general, yes.
No, for his next job. Oh, no, right. he ain't coming back here.
He's not getting the next job.
Although, you know, well, that's part of the topic. Anyway, let's finish up with this Micah stuff. But Micah not stopping down twice to be like addressed like Mike fighting for him or Mike staying here. That was a mistake or an oversight, intentional or not.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I want to know, what is it that he thinks is being twisted? What does he think is being flipped around for content? Because, yeah, like you said, if it's that headline, that is being taken out of context. And Jory, to her credit, followed up and said, hey, for anybody who's misunderstanding this, this is what he's saying.
Sure, yes.
Which I don't think you can screw up reading it when you read the whole quote. Like, I think that's exactly what it sounds like he's saying.
Yes.
But the problem is that back end of it, which again, just seems like you're calling into question, which again, Rex Ryan and Damian Woody can take issue with that. I think it's fascinating.
Rex was talking about the second part of it, the hours.
Yeah, and Damian Woody was too, talking about how can you call it. I know he's doing everything he can. I think it's a little much to assume you know better than the guys that are in here how much work is being put in, though. I think that's presumptuous from Rex Ryan and Damian Woody right there, but they got to have their takes, and they got to scream into a camera, and they've got to get worked up about something. Rex genuinely, I think, is worked up from somebody who's been in that profession and feels like we take too many arrows as it is for stuff that we don't do, and so that's where that comes from. But Damian Woody just seems like he's trying to yell.
The likelihood is that Mike is at the facility when the players get there, and he's probably at the facility when the players go home. And that's just the reality. Most coaches are.
RJ says, it is not just star down, brought to you by Crown Royal, the official whiskey of the NFL, which I think RJ may have been on yesterday while on his Instagram, judging by the eyes. there's some star up as well. Final hour with phone calls and Odyssey app venting on the home of the Cowboys next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.